All right, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Kaiser, founder and editor of Kaiser Research. Now, John, I've talked so much about the moves in the markets and even the moves in the precious metals, which there's no denying the precious metals, whether it's the stocks or the actual metal prices, are moving very much in lockstep with what's going on in the broad averages. Today is another good example of that, where we have U.S. markets down almost double digits. They were already halted for a period of time today. And then we're seeing GDX, GDXJ, even gold selling off very aggressively. GDX, GDXJ, those are down 15, just over 15%, 16% for GDXJ. John, I have to ask you though, what or is there anything out there that you see as a bit of hope for metals or precious metals that could diverge how they're moving from the general U.S. markets? Because right now what we're seeing, even with governments even talk about handing out money to people and the Federal Reserve trying to create more money to somehow stabilize the markets and the economy, it's not working, and metal stocks are going hand in hand with all of this fear.
Well, Corey, I live here in Contra Costa County in the East Bay, and we now have a shelter in place where, you know, like all bars, stores, everything, gyms, everything has been ordered shut down. We've been told to stay home except go get essential services like groceries and things like that. So this is the extreme suppression strategy that China imposed on its economy. And we're starting to find out what a severe impact that had on the Chinese economy, far worse than they have admitted, and it seems to be turning around. But in some recent papers that the Imperial College in UK put out about COVID-19, it's clear that the suppression strategy merely flattens the curve and defers a future spike. And what they're modeling now for Great Britain, United States, is that we'll have rising infections over the next 3-4 months, then a bit of a dip, but come September, October, then we have the real spike in this. And that's assuming this suppression strategy is maintained in place. And the economic implications are absolutely devastating. The markets right now are resetting to factor in that we're heading into a recession, possibly a global depression, with China very likely to have its second wave of infections somewhere down the road. And everything is for sale. Companies that are indebted are going to be in trouble because the revenue side of the equation is going to simply vanish. And during this liquidity crisis, it's exactly like 2008, September, October, with Shearson, Lehman Brothers collapsing. Gold is being sold to help raise cash to deal with this problem. Now, this cannot go on forever. It will eventually stop, and then we'll sit there. What now? That's when gold will stop going down and it will start rising. So for now, for the juniors in the gold space, you just got to wait it out. You got to be ready to bottom for something when some panic sell takes some junior way, way down, because the inevitable outcome of this is that the gold price will rise later this year.
Okay, John, I read that UK report on the infection curve, and it's actually a shocking and I think somewhat terrifying report that says we could easily be in this sort of recession, depression, almost lockup globally for 18 months. And there is still no telling if that's even enough time for a vaccine to come out or anything to solve this problem. But when it comes to these companies, a lot of companies, depending on where they work, have just completely shut down operations. A lot of places in South America, they can't even go out onto the street, so companies can't do any work there. Do you see any lights at the end of the tunnel here in terms of companies that can actually do work and, who knows, maybe add some value to their project or to their asset in this just horrible time for stocks?
Well, again, I think we need to see the gold downtrend reverse. Companies that have money and have operating infrastructure, people infrastructure in the country where their primary project is, they will be able to continue to do work. Being out in the field drilling holes, you're not likely to be infecting anybody. You get infected, you're in essence in self-isolation anyway. So one thing to look for are companies that do have money, that have expiration plans, and that have the ability to execute those plans. Because changing what you have into a discovery, that will entertain the market. Because keep in mind, everybody's now stuck doing nothing. They're not really allowed to work, especially those who have these types of jobs where they can't work remote from home. So discovery exploration is a form of entertainment. The companies have tiny market capitalizations. So if some of them start to have a discovery, that becomes a microcosm of activity, of money coming in. As for the longer term, I think, for base metals of that, it's just going to be awful. They're all going to be way down. They're going to be at prices where it's not worth exploring for it or advancing your project. But that could also potentially change because this sort of 18-month period of imposed economic downturn is going to create a lot of conditions of unhappiness, especially with what I call the post-boomer generation, who are going to be the hardest hit for that. They understand that, of the three options, one was to absolutely do nothing and let this virus just roar through and create a herd immunity. And then by the time the vaccine's ready, it doesn't matter because 2/3 of the population already had it. But the unfortunate thing is, that's like a death sentence for the older people, the elderly who have health issues. When this COVID-19 hits them, the mortality rates are 9-10% amongst that people. So a decision has been made to, like, let's not have this happen. But the government is going to have to give something back to these younger generations who are going to be harmed, who are going to, start being suicidal. Domestic violence is going to go up. Murderous activity will go up. This being cooped up and nothing to do and the future completely shrinking into an end times. The government's going to better start thinking about more than just handing out a couple $1,000 so you can pay this month's rent. They have to start thinking about rebuilding the vision. And that's where I think the infrastructure renewal things, massive spending, to show that this isn't the end times and that everything's being destroyed for the sake of the vulnerable part of the population, that we will rebuild and make everything better. And that, of course, means that the weak prices for metals, base metals, and all the other minor metals that will turn around. And so I'm looking for signs of this as a reason to start bottom fishing for companies that have base metal type projects, because we are still going to need raw materials all down the road when the recovery begins.
It is one of those plays, though, that nobody should feel rushed or panicked to get into these plays, especially, I think, the base metal plays. But to your point there, John, one thing that I see playing out here is, quite simply, in Europe and North America, the weather is going to start getting better. And people, especially the younger generation, is not going to stay cooped up, self-isolated for a prolonged period of time, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe even 2 months. But I even think that is getting a little bit far to the point where they're going to say, enough is enough. I am going to go outside. I am going to get some fresh air and try to get back some semblance of my life for another aspect that this virus doesn't apparently kill me, or it's a very low mortality rate. So once that starts happening, I could see governments get forced into something other than simply, creating money and sending out checks that it seems like their plan is right now to help people pay their rent or whatever bills they have. That, first and foremost, just isn't sustainable. And second of all, it's not healthy for anybody to have this little bit of money come in that immediately goes out the door, especially when they don't even have jobs. Now, that being said, I even have some friends that are sitting at home right now and don't typically play the markets, but they are watching the markets much closer. They can't go to work. And hopefully they are still getting paid, but there are a lot of people that are losing their jobs. Do you see anything changing in the way that the markets could open up, or even funding opportunities open up for some of these junior companies, or really any companies, to maybe help spur some more investment in these companies, rather than simply fear and, people sitting at home almost crying in their cup of coffee?
Well, Corey, not everybody has zero in their bank account. And maybe they have all these, index funds, these passive things that they've just watched go down 30%. And they say, oh, gosh, when's this going to turn around? And so people will want to make back money much more quickly. And that's why I think the resource juniors, which the general view, stay away, forget about them, they're history. Well, they are potentially history if they cannot raise money to do anything. And one of my causes that I've been really vociferous about is the existing security holder exemption that the Canadian regulators created several years ago, because they realized that the accredited investor definition, which means you need to be a millionaire, not including your home realty, or have made several hundred thousand dollars a year for the past couple of years in order to qualify to put money into a company by private placement. And that's the only mechanism by which it gets done. And the brokerage firms, they only fund a tiny fraction of these companies. So most of this giant ecosystem of resource juniors is basically cash starved. And this is going to get worse, because I'm sure a lot of people who qualified as accredited investor millionaires 3 months ago probably don't do so today. Yeah, they can lie and still go ahead and sign all this. But now is the time to remove that existing shareholder requirement. There are restrictions so that you can't blow your brains out, that you're only allowed to put $15,000 per company per 12-month period. Well, for non-millionaires, that's a pretty good limitation. Put $5,000 here, $5,000 there, spread it all around. Like, that's something very simple that Canadian regulators could do right now, so that these resource juniors don't die on the vine, can get money in the treasuries, go out there in the field and start drilling. And then once you get a discovery going, everybody knows this will eventually end. It's a question, is it 6 months, 12 months, 24 months before it ends? We got to get something going right now to entertain people, and allowing money to go into these treasuries more efficiently. I think that's a really simple thing they could do with the stroke of a pen, and keep this resource junior space alive.
So, John, you've written a lot about these zombie companies in the junior space. Do you think that finally this could be the time that these zombie companies finally go away?
Yeah, I mean, of the 1,200 resource juniors on the venture exchange, half have negative working capital. Well, nobody wants to give money to pay accrued salaries and stuff like that. So those, they've managed to survive, for years, and they're probably just going to continue to sit there. But it's the other half, the 600 with real technical teams, real projects. Their treasuries are always going down because they're spending the money, they're stimulating the economy, they're doing exploration work. It's being able to allow this crowd to raise money, not just the 20 or 30 that are under the umbrella protection of the few cabals that are out there, but the whole group of them, and be able to pull their audiences, their funders from across the Canadian spectrum of investors. That I think is the key. Forget about the zombies. That's, only the problem of the creditors who are owed money by the zombies. And that's about $2 billion that's owed by.
That is just crazy, mind-boggling. But hey, the amounts of money that governments are throwing around right now is also quite mind-boggling. John, we're going to wrap it up there. I sure hope that when we talk in 2 weeks' time, it is on a little bit more of an optimistic note. But right now, it's hard for anybody to hold on to a lot of optimism, because we don't know how long this is going to go on for. And quite frankly, these city shutdowns in North America have just started. So again, we'll see how long people can stay inside, and if this truly will flatten the curve, and if this curve will end. But that UK report was not very optimistic or promising in my eyes. John, thanks for taking some time today. Stay home, stay safe, buddy. We'll chat again in 2 weeks.
You're welcome. Thank you, Corey.